1970. This week's Music Matters was presented by Tom Service and produced by Peter Meanwell. As Tom said, there's a good deal more Cage across Radio 3 all week. Just head to the Music Matters web pages for more details. And next week, Music Matters takes a break, and at the same time, you can hear how comedian Rainer Hirsch gets on as he learns how to prepare a piano. That's next Saturday at 12:15. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news now, read by Susan Ray.
The international military force in Afghanistan has admitted that the Taliban was able to attack one of ISAF's most important bases by exploiting a weakness in its defences. They said a suicide bomber breached a vulnerable part of the perimeter wall at Camp Bastion in Helmand province, allowing the militants to get inside. Two US Marines and 18 Taliban fighters died in a four-hour battle that followed. Prince Harry is based at Camp Bastion, but was unharmed. A British soldier from 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards has been killed in an unrelated incident. His vehicle ran over an improvised explosive device in Helmand province yesterday. Relatives have been told. The protests against the controversial American video have spread to Australia, with running battles between police and hundreds of Muslims on the streets of Sydney. In Egypt, police moved in to clear demonstrators who've been outside the American embassy for the past 5 days. Several arrests were made. An Italian magazine says it's planning a 26-page spread of photographs of the Duchess of Cambridge sunbathing topless. St James's Palace has said it's taking legal action against a French magazine for printing the pictures of the royal couple while they were on holiday in Provence. The man expected to be China's next leader, Xi Jinping, has reappeared in public after an unexplained 2-week absence. There had been speculation about Mr Xi's health after he cancelled meetings with foreign dignitaries, including the US Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. A newly appointed health minister says the government screwed up its presentation of the controversial changes to the NHS in England. Anna Soubry admitted making the remark during a private session at a health conference just days after taking up her new ministerial post, but has since tried to clarify her position, saying the changes could have been better explained. And the weather, it'll be a mostly dry afternoon with some sunshine in eastern areas. Western areas will be more overcast and there'll be some light rain in the far northwest of England and western Scotland. That's the BBC News and Weather, just coming up to 1:03.
And it was read by Susan Ray. Now on Radio 3, Catherine Botts with today's Early Music Show.
Thank you. 10-part canzone on the first tone by Giovanni Gabrieli, played by His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. All the repertoire in today's Early Music Show comes from their concert, recorded at the 2012 Edinburgh International Festival in Greyfriars Kirk. The two collaborating ensembles drew a large audience for their celebration of Giovanni Gabrieli, performed only one day after the 400th anniversary of his death on the 12th of August, 1612. The most important musicians in Venice in the second half of the 16th century were the men who worked at St Mark's Basilica. The Maestri di Cappella, of course, but even more than them, the organists and other instrumentalists, who were all highly skilled in the art of improvisation, which by its very nature didn't often get written down and preserved. One exception was Giovanni Gabrieli, and here's a quick summary of his path to the Basilica di San Marco. After the death of his father, the young Giovanni was informally adopted by his mother's brother, his uncle Andrea, who spotted his talent and steered him towards a musical career, sending him off to Munich to study with Orlando Lassus. Giovanni returned to Venice in the early 1580s, and in January 1585 he won the competition for the post of organist at St Mark's, working in tandem with his uncle until Andrea died just 8 months later, at which point Giovanni became principal composer as well. In 1597, he published a huge collection of sacred, secular and instrumental concerti by both himself and his late uncle. And our next music comes from that collection of Symphonie Sacre, Giovanni Gabrieli's 10-part setting of Psalm 102, Domine exaudi orationem meam, is played now by the combined forces of His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. Domine exaudi orationem meam by Giovanni Gabrieli, played by Concerto Palatino and His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets at the Edinburgh International Festival in August. Giovanni Gabrieli became the most important composer of sacred and ceremonial music at St Mark's, and therefore for all Venetian state occasions. Like many St Mark's musicians, he was also associated on a regular or freelance basis with other churches and confraternities in the city, which created a lively and lucrative market in music for festal occasions. So, with much of Gabrielli's music, it's not possible to state with any certainty which institution or assembly he wrote it for. Many of his pieces are for large vocal or instrumental forces, and some of them were clearly designed for performance in St. Mark's, where on high ceremonial occasions the main body of singers would be placed in a pulpit in the nave, while separate groups of musicians were up in the two organ lofts on either side, taking advantage of the nooks and crannies that give the basilica its remarkable acoustic. Some of Gabrielli's pieces, though, were on a smaller scale, much more intimate in nature, like these two four-part instrumental canzonas from a collection published in 1608. two four-part canzonas by Giovanni Gabrieli performed at Greyfriars Kirk in Edinburgh by Concerto Palatino and His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets. I wasn't able to be at the concert myself, but I have gathered from a couple of the people involved that despite the coming together of these two eminent ensembles, they were emphatically not engaged in a battle of the bands. Their combined aim was simply to celebrate Giovanni Gabrieli. And neither did they attempt to recreate the staging demands of those aforementioned nooks and crannies in St Mark's Venice. The 12 players were arranged in a deep horseshoe pattern on the platform, cornetti to the front, sackbuts to the rear, with two chamber organs upstage centre, side by side. Back to Gabrieli's music. During his lifetime, he became very well known far beyond Venice, and his reputation attracted a number of talented pupils to the city, including Heinrich Schütz, who helped spread Gabrieli's music and teachings throughout Europe, particularly in Germany. Gabrieli became increasingly ill from about 1606, and he died on the 12th of August 1612 of complications from a kidney stone, a year before Monteverdi arrived at St Mark's. The next music we're going to hear is a pair of pieces from a collection published 3 years after Gabrieli's death, a sonata originally written for three violins, and first a seven-part canzone.
Thank you.
Concerto Palatino and His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets, with those two pieces from the Canzoni e Sonate del Signor Giovanni Gabrieli, published in 1615, 3 years after the composer's death. We've now heard pieces from all three of the big published collections of Gabrieli's music, and so far it's been Sackbutts and Cornets all the way. But to demonstrate the splendid adaptability of his music, this next piece began life as an eight-part instrumental canzone, which only needs four hands at two adjacent instruments to emerge triumphantly as an organ duet. Jan Waterfield and Andrew Reed playing Gabrieli's eight-part canzone Sol Sol La Sol Fa Mi. It was part of a concert given at the 2012 Edinburgh International Festival by two early brass ensembles, His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. I say brass ensembles, but that's a modern term. Cornets are actually made of wood, covered with leather, and have finger holes like a woodwind instrument. They're played with a cup mouthpiece like a trumpet or a horn. Sackbutts are perhaps more familiar as precursors of the trombone family and come in various sizes and depths of tone. His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets, or HMSC as they're known in the trade, was formed 30 years ago, back in 1982, and took its name from Matthew Locke's five-part things for His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets. That's two T's on the front of things, by the way. Probably played during the coronation celebrations for Charles II in 1661. The core group comprises two cornets, three sackbutts and keyboard, and they perform contemporary works and new commissions, as well as the expected repertoire from the late Renaissance and early Baroque, like the Gabrieli we're hearing today. Next, two more pieces from the 1597 book of Symphonie Sacre, an eight-part canzone on the first tone, and after it, a prayer to Holy Mary for the helpless, Sancta Maria Succurre Miseris.
Thank you.
just as expressive without words. Gabrieli's seven-part Sancta Maria Succure Miseris, and before it an eight-part canzone from Symphonie Sacrae of 1597, played by His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and on today's programme we're celebrating Giovanni Gabrieli in an Edinburgh International Festival concert given 400 years and one day after his death by two leading specialist ensembles. I talked earlier about His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets, who are celebrating their 30th birthday this year, but the other featured ensemble, Concerto Palatino, also has an anniversary in 2012. They were founded back in 1987, so it's 25 years in the business for them, and they too have played a tremendous role in the revival of interest in the cornet and the baroque trombone. Their founders, Bruce Dickey and Charles Toot, took the name from Il Concerto Palatino della Signoria di Bologna, an ensemble that existed in northern Italy for over 200 years. Cornetists and sacbutiers are a notably collaborative and sociable bunch, as proved by this Edinburgh concert. Here's Gabrieli's Canzone 6 in seven parts.
Thank you.
canzone in seven parts from the posthumously published collection of pieces by Giovanni Gabrieli, played by members of today's two featured ensembles, His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. Their concert was given as part of the 2012 Edinburgh International Festival in the city's Greyfriars Kirk, in whose churchyard is a statue commemorating the Skye Terrier, who is popularly believed to have spent 14 years guarding the grave of his owner. The church itself was built in 1620, 8 years after Gabrieli's death, but its resonant acoustics serve his music rather well, and the 12 performers, as you'll have gathered by now, are as tenacious as Greyfriars Bobby himself in their guardianship of this sonorous repertoire. Two more of Gabrieli's large-scale pieces next from the 1597 publication. We'll hear a glorious 10-part instrumental version of the Maria Virgo shortly, but before that, an 8-part canzone on the 12th tone. Giovanni Gabrieli's Maria Virgo, ending the Edinburgh Festival concert given by His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets, Jeremy West and Jamie Savan, Adam Wolfe, Abigail Newman and Stephen Saunders, and Concerto Palatino, Bruce Dickey and Doron David Sherwin, Simen van Mechelen, Charles Toot and Wim Beku, with organists Jan Waterfield and Andrew Reed. And their audience didn't want to leave it there, so to close today's early music show, here's the encore, another 10-part piece, a canzone on the 12th tone.
Ten-part canzone on the 12th tone by Giovanni Gabrieli, an encore ending the Edinburgh Festival concert given last month by His Majesty's Sagbutts and Cornets and Concerto Palatino. Today's early music show was introduced by Catherine Bott and produced by Les Pratt. And in tomorrow's programme at the same time, Lucy Skeeping will be presenting a profile of Purcell's opera Dido and Aeneas. That's 2 minutes past one, tomorrow lunchtime, here on BBC Radio 3.
The new season of Drama on Three continues with three plays depicting the ruthlessness of absolute power.
Her life is your death. Her death, your life.
Elizabeth I plots her rival's fate in Schiller's Mary Stuart.
This desire for blood, I hate it with all my soul.
Simon Russell Beale plays Stalin in the recent National Theatre success, Collaborators.
You're a subversive worm. Nevertheless, alive with that, I like you.
And our sequence of plays begins with the growth to tyrannical power of a young shepherd.
Virtue solely is the sum of glory.
Tamburlaine, a play that stunned its Elizabethan audience, among whom was a young William Shakespeare. Radio 3's Drama on Three. Tomorrow at 8:30.
It's coming up to 2 minutes past two, and time now for the Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert, and another chance to hear the first in a new series of Monday lunchtime broadcasts. It was introduced by Katie Durham.
Welcome to London's Wigmore Hall for this, our first post-proms lunchtime recital. The hall is packed. They're all here for the highly regarded, wonderful Czech string quartet, the Schamper. Today, the Schamper are going to be bringing us a programme of late Mozart, his first Prussian quartet, Köchel 575, and some rather melancholic but beautiful Schubert, the Rosamund Quartet. The Schamper have been around for 20 years now, and through their mentors, the Smetana Quartet, they can trace their roots to the very earliest string quartets like the Bohemian. Early and, let's be honest, numerous honours and prizes guaranteed a glittering career, and the quartet's performance at all the major European festivals. They now spend much of their time teaching here in London at the Royal Academy of Music. From the original lineup, only the viola player remains. The two violinists we are hearing today joined 4 years ago, and the cellist is an old friend, but a relative new boy. He joined in May of this year. First, we're going to hear them play the Mozart. In the spring of 1789, Mozart was, as usual, in dire financial straits, and he went on the road in search of commissions, positions, and handouts. He arrived in Potsdam in the April at the residence of the cello-playing King Frederick William II of Prussia. Mozart managed to engineer an audience with the king, and though details are sketchy, it seems at the very least he was commissioned to write six new string quartets with a prominent role for the royal cellist. The number 21 in D major, which we're going to hear today, is the first of these Prussian quartets to be completed. In the end, Mozart only wrote three, possibly because money that he'd banked on wasn't forthcoming. This work is happy, it's sweet. It seems that the trying financial times and unreliable patrons had absolutely no impact on Mozart's capacity for invention. Well, coming to the stage now to perform are the Schamper Quartet, violinists Helena Jerzykowska, Daniela Suchkova, viola player Radim Sedmidubsky, and cellist Peter Sportzel to perform Mozart's String Quartet, Köchel 575.